This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to 92.7 Arrow FM. You're listening to the show Help, which is a show that my wife and I run. Now, unfortunately, she's not here today. Show that we run, that where we like to talk about the help we need as parents, really, with what it boils down to. So my name's Michael, my wife Abby. We are normally talking together, and we have three children. All of our children are in the primary school age. So it's been quite good because we're talking about, you know, things that we've kind of discovered along the way, some things that would have been helpful to know early on. We do a bit of work. So my wife works with an organisation that, the Ruth Project, and they help families around the perinatal space. So kind of, you know, there's a lot of discussions we have just in our normal time, together, where it is a lot focused about just how to survive this crazy period. And I guess today, what I wanted to talk about is kind of us moving into our next step, which brings some questions. So, and I think it's a good timely topic for this time of the year, because it's to do with, you know, a bit of change going on. So specifically, I'm going to talk about helping a child through their transition of changing schools. So we're in the point where we have our oldest. She is finishing, she's about to graduate from primary school and move into intermediate. So, like, it's not we're deciding to just take him out of one school, put him to another one. We are going to actually go down the whole path of it's a whole, she's taken on another stage of her life. And I think it's a good timely topic to talk about, because at the end of every year there is, you know, the primary school age groups that will go through this. But there's also often, I think, just naturally in families, the end of year is there's just change because school stops, you've got Christmas, you've got holidays, into the new year, a lot of people thinking about what's going to happen in their future. There's a lot of reflecting on lifestyles and choices that happens in this period of year. So on one hand, it's great because, you know, at this point of time, you're definitely talking about having more time with family, or you kind of, it's this weird thing where you kind of slow down. I know from my experience, and I'm talking from there, like, wrap up work, have a little bit of time off, you will slow down. So you do often have a lot more time to relax, or things aren't so crazy at time. Probably once we get past Christmas is probably the better way of putting it, because, you know, leading up to Christmas, it can be a bit stressful. But after, when you're in that time, you have your family around and everything's good, everything's chill, it's nice. So you have that sense where things aren't necessarily as stressed. So I'm kind of going all over the place with this, because I'm probably thinking, like, more in, from my experience, more on the summer side of things, where we if you're not working, you have a holiday. So that stress is gone, but other stresses come up. And especially the whole transition from one place to another, it can actually create a lot more tension. And I think for your child going through this as well, if they know that, you know, they've got to a point, like, in their schooling life, if they've been at the same school for 5 years, they've kind of come in young and they've learnt the ropes, and now they're the big kids. They've finally got there, and they know this, how school works. They know how the teachers work, and how the year works, and everything they're looking forward to. And so it's comfortable, but then all of a sudden, that whole comfort space, that whole knowledge of what they're going to do, is all going to be taken away, you know, put in another place where they don't know the teachers. They don't know how the schooling system works in this one, because is different. So that can create a lot of, uncertainty. I think it can create a lot of emotions for your child. And so I wanted to talk about a bit this today. Now, I'm going to try to limit it with just talking about the kids. But I think what we talked about last week was quite good. And it just kind of reflects one part of it that I want to raise is, you know, how as parents, your children will model after what you do. And so if you want a calm household, you need to model a calm household to them. And so I guess through this transition period, as parents, I think, you know, this is very easy to get caught up in your own emotions and your own concerns, you know, as this child of yours, and especially for me, you know, this child of mine that started, it's a new milestone for us where we haven't seen a kid get to this point yet. And so there's that kind of like a little bit of nervousness. Oh, will they be okay? Have they done enough in the primary school? Will they make friends? All this sort of stuff goes on. And so I think it's very easy as a parent where you can put that on your children. So you wanted to just be be aware of it. So anyway, I'm going to probably kind of float around this topic quite a bit. I do have a structure. You know, it's important to have structures for these shows. So I think I'm going to break down the challenges that I think are going to be, I'm talking from a point of view of about to go through this, but I did some reading and did some research. So when I say this stuff, these challenges are not things I have thought of. They are things that have come up from my research. So the challenges that will often be felt by kids and going through this is obviously the emotional impact. So what is it that your child will feel? And I think it's going to be good to talk about this because I think depending on your child and your personality, there's going to be lots of different layers to this. And as a parent, you might know, if you know your child well, you might pick up on what they are probably going to feel. But then I think it's also really important to have this conversation because I know with some of our kids, they don't necessarily know what they're feeling until you start to dive down and talk about it. So, like, is there that nervousness that's coming through? It could be nervousness not just about the new school. Like, well, you know, the nervousness about the unknown, like, it's that nervousness, will they fit in? Are they travelling with friends? So I think that's a really key one. Is friend groups, like, who of your friends are actually transitioning to the same school as you? Now, we're pretty lucky where we live, Masterton, there isn't a massive amount of choices for intermediate school, and it just so happens that the Hurt Lucy, our daughter's core group of friends, is transitioning with her from the primary school into the intermediate school. So that's going to be quite helpful because there isn't that sadness of, I'm not going to see this person again. I know for me, I got hit with that when I left, and it's that weird. It's just that weird dynamic where you're kind of like, you've done so many years with these groups of people, and you're just like, you're so used to seeing them every day, and all go to holidays, come back, see them all the time, it's all good. Then all of a sudden that realization that, hold on, I probably won't see these people again, for me, I could fit in a lot of groups, and so like I quite often play sport during lunch breaks, and so there's a massive group of people that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily consider yourself friends if you go hang out after, but you kind of see them all the time and you play with them. So then all of a sudden that whole safety net's just gone. So is there that kind of sadness that's going on where they're not transitioning with their friends? And I think it's really important to identify those emotional impacts that are going to be on your child during this time, because they will exist. They definitely will be there. And it's through talking about the transition, about what's going to happen, that we're going to start to dive down to what are the emotions. Now, it could be that they're 100% excited, which is cool, and that'll be awesome. I think just don't take it as face value, though. It's very easy to get caught up into one emotion. I think as humans, we're very complex. It's not necessarily one emotion someone's feeling at a time. So it could be that excitement, but then just that worry and the fear that's kind of driving underneath. But if you only focus on excitement, which it is good to do because it's good to look at the positives, but if you only focus on that, then there could be this undercurrent and undertow of negative emotions, or what we'll call negative emotions, worry and concern, that things aren't going to go well, but you don't deal with it because you don't dive in deep enough. I think that relates to some of the other discussions I've had in the past about, you know, being emotionally available for your kids, because you need to teach them how to bring up these emotions. And I think what I'm trying to highlight here is there's going to be an emotional impact on your child of some degree with this transition. Another aspect that's quite common is the academic achievements. Now I'm going to say, like, it comes down to your kids, and possibly the transition from primary to intermediate doesn't have so much of this academic achievements, but definitely the later you go, where the academic and the achievements you're trying to achieve, the standards you're trying to achieve, the heights you're trying to reach at academic level, have a direct impact to your future path. And so that's where I think, you know, that is going to be a serious factor that you need to work through. And I think some people of this younger age will feel that, like, especially, let's put forward, if they're from a rural school or small school, or even as an address small school, if they are normally top of their class and has been for a while and in the academic realm, because they are just wired that way, what's going to happen when you go to this new school, which possibly quite larger, you're going to have people from other schools, like, will they be able to hold that position, and how tied into their identity is their academic achievement? Are they trying to be the top person, or are they just trying to do well? New schools mean new ways of learning. Not all schools teach in the same manner, especially when it comes to the teachers and the culture. So how will the different curriculums and teaching styles, how will they gel, and will your child kind of sink or swim? I guess is one way of looking at it. Because I think it's, from my perspective, the way the teaching in schools now is quite different to where I was at. And I think it's not just one style of do this, do this, do this. I think that a lot of the younger schools are definitely a lot more open to the different ways that people can learn, which is great because, you know, the way our youngest learns is so far different to the way our oldest learns, and then even our middle child is different again. So there's all these different styles of learning where you don't always fit what I guess the traditional model is. And now when I'm talking about a traditional model, I'm going to say, like, you know, what I grew up in, where you sit behind a desk, you have teacher in front of the class, going through a topic, writing stuff down, copying, all like that sort of, I guess, oral and I can't remember the right words for this, but that sort of learning. Whereas, you know, a lot, it's quite common for kids to learn through feel, touch, building, trial, and being into this manner, rather than that kind of what I would consider the more academic side, where you're kind of just learning from listening and writing. So I think what I'm trying to say with this is, you know, and the way the academic adjustments and achievements are going to happen is going to have an impact, and that can, like, lead back into the first point about the emotional impact, because if they're not feeling prepared, then that will then lead to worry, or if they are top of the class, then that will also lead to worry as to where they will still be at that point. So I think it's just important to identify what sort of style your child learns at. Is that available at the new school? And if not, then okay, how do we go through this? I think the third common challenge that comes up in these times is the social pressures. So again, like, especially with transitioning, if they're not transitioning with friends, or if they are part of groups that might, they might have to redefine some of those groups, like a sport or a book club, or not too sure what other ones I have at intermediate, because, you know, it's my first time going through it. But just making the new friends, finding their space, like what's their identity in that school? Because I think it's quite a big thing for kids just to be insecure in themselves. Like, how do they fit in? I don't know, these conversations they have with my kids quite a bit is, you know, probably not my youngest, because he fits in with everyone. You take him to a playground. I've literally taken him to a playground in the hut, and my two oldest kids are kind of like playing together and doing their own thing, all happy, got a vision of worlds. Youngest is just like, go and play with them, then just goes, finds this random kid, starts playing with them, having a great time, running around chasing, finds another one. He's just like, he's just wired to fit in everywhere. But not everyone's like that. So, and I think that whole, how they fit in and lock into the school environment, the outer environment, that will have an impact on them. And I guess it's just trying to make sure you're working with how they fit it, how they will how they will navigate that space. And even when, you know, it's also a full set of new staff and teachers, because it's different from when you transition from a class in your school, because, you know, you've always got that teacher that you knew last time, or support staff, or the principal, and so you've always got them you can go back to because you already know them until you develop a relationship with a new teacher. But like, they're going completely to something where there is none of those connections, unless they know someone there, which is not always likely. But, you know, if they aren't understanding how the new teacher's kind of talking to them, teaching them, like, who do they go to? Like, they got to figure this out. So I think these are some of the challenges that as a parent, I just want to highlight, that you're going to start to navigate through. I think it's really important to actually just lay them out as well. So what are some things you can do to help work this through? Now, I'm just gonna highlight, before I go too much further, there is a bunch of studies on this. I think it's really important to do some research as well, because there are so many different levels that you can engage on, and that I can give my point of view, or from what I've read, I can give my rationale, but I'm also quite often laying how I parent and how I deal with my kids into that mix. So, and that may not be for everyone. Different people, you know, different people fit different shoes, I guess is probably the best way of saying it, or there's multiple ways it's going to cap. It's a lovely saying. But it's that whole thing of, you know your child better than anyone else, because you are in their life all the time. So I can't say to you, oh, go do this because this worked for me, because I'm not taking consideration that the way you parent your child different to mine. So it's not, what I do isn't necessarily going to work directly for you, so to say. So bottom line is there's a bunch of studies. I found four of them pretty quick, on just the whole transition into schools. So I would suggest that whatever I say in terms of what you can do to prepare, take it with a grain of salt. A big one, take away what you want. Hopefully it gets you thinking, but if you need some more research, just go do it. So before the move, I think it's very important, you know, talk openly about the change. It's very easy to kind of kick things down the can, kick the can down the road. Because, you know, sometimes, especially getting to this point of the year, you got Christmas coming up, you got holidays, so what are you going to do? You got a break. Like, it's very easy to get caught up. And for us, we've got just in our family birthday in November, two birthdays in December, and then we also have the wider family, another birthday in November, another few birthdays in December. So it's actually quite busy with all the stuff going on. It's actually, and then even leading up to it, we've got a wedding in January. So there's a bunch of stuff going on in this period where our daughter's also about to transition. So it's the sort of thing that we can be like, oh, well, we'll talk about it later. I don't care. But I think it's very important, especially as they're finishing the school. We're in the last few weeks for her. So having this discussion around, hey, what are some of the stuff you're starting to feel about where you're going? Like, how are you feeling about current school? And I think, you know, you can't just sit down and be like, I've had this conversation, one, done, we're sorted. Like, something I think you just refer to a couple of times going forward, like, hey, well, in a good space, hey, how are you feeling about going to MAS? Why do you feel good about that? Are there things you're not feeling good about? So I think it's very, and this is something I advocate for anyway, I don't like to BS my kids around when it comes to life decisions or big things. Like, we will have, we will talk to our kids what we think is appropriate for their age, but we're not going to be like, I'm trying to use an example. So if we have a situation where we're falling out with a family member, which has happened, like, we don't pretend with our kids that everything's fine. Like, we just say, look, we have had an issue. This is how we feel. This is how we're working through it. Because we don't want our kids to be in a position where they find out stuff later on and realize, oh, why that not mum and dad just how cut it from us. Like, that's not the way we operate. And so talking openly about the change, that's pretty common for us. So we've talked about this. I'm in the process of changing jobs at the moment. So that was something that my notes are just gone. Damn it. That was something that we did talk to them about when we were going through this change, and we're like, hey, this is what's going on. This is an opportunity that daddy has. This is why we're doing it. And we just talk about it. So I think it's very important to just talk about the change that's going to happen, so you know where your kids are at. You can allow them to express their feelings, allow them to express what it is that's underneath that's going on for them. Again, I think visiting, hopefully you do this, and a lot of schools do this already, but arrange a time to meet or go to the school, to have a bit of a tour, to go around to what's going on, where the classes are at. I think that's really good, because it's going to have that sense of familiarity. Okay, now you're not walking into this unknown place where you, you know, just simple things like when the bell rings on the first day, where do I go? Like, that's a really important thing, because like our second child, that's something that we're going to have to answer. Like, he needs to know explicitly, where do I go when this happens? If the bell rings, I need to know where I'm going, because if I don't know where I'm going to go, then just send us down with fire, because that's just, he's detailed oriented like that and needs to know these things laid out. So arranging a school visit. What I really appreciate about our current school is because so many of the students transition to this intermediate, they're doing that next week. So already they're going to go with their classmates, all those that are going to school, friends, all going to get familiar, taken around. So I think it's going to just help to ease a lot of the nervousness and the unknown. Really good idea as well is meet new peers. I think this is really critical if you know you're moving. Say you're moving to another school that your friends are not going to, or transition to a different city. Like, if you can ahead of time get to know or figure out who might be in their group and who might just it's going to help set them up with, okay, I actually know someone. Now I transitioned when I was in intermediate school from a private school to a public one, but I did it halfway through the year, and that had challenges in itself, because one, I wasn't transitioning with people I knew. Two, I was in this private school, which is only about 150 in the whole school. It's quite small. Two, the public one, which ended up, I think, it was about 700-ish, like massive difference. Going from like 11 people in my year class to a full 30. So when I say 150 people in school, that was from new entrants right through to graduation of year 13. So that's not many. So I transitioned halfway through the year, which was difficult because a lot of people, I was walking into an environment that was already established as a classroom, walking into friends that were already, established. So I didn't know anyone, and trying to have to navigate, and it probably would have been good to kind of go there and see it, or even just try to organize to see someone, because it was hard. Like the first few days, you're just kind of like, what are you doing at lunchtime? It can be pretty hard to go somewhere where you don't know anyone. So do recommend that. Now, that's pre the transition, during the transition. Okay, so as you're starting to step into this, some really good tips here is establish a routine. So kind of you're talking about beforehand, what are some things of creating a schedule, a consistent way of where the child can feel like they're in control. Now, this could be not just a routine for you getting to school. It could also be, you know, hey, we've looked at the school schedule. We know we're going to drop you off at 8:30. So you're going to have 20 minutes to be at school before the class bell rings. Like, what are you going to do there? Who are you going to meet? You're going to see this, go to your class and morning tea. Now this will work really well for some people and probably doesn't work for others, but so like for my second child, this will be right up his alley. He knows what he's going to do, gets there focused, even from his youngest as well. But it's just that whole thing of even like, okay, when are you going to, where are you going to wait when you come home and we pick you up? So these things, because what you're doing there is you're going to establish that routine where there's stability, where they know what to expect, where there is this big unknown school that's going on, where they're having to learn a whole lot of new people, new interactions. But within that, there's this element of, I know if I stick to this, that things are going to be okay, because this is I can control this. I can deal with that. So I think having that consistent schedule will help that stability and the change until they get to the point where, you know, they started to kind of engage and they're okay. Their sphere of knowledge, the sphere of comfort is kind of growing. Another thing to do during transition is create milestones, or in New Zealand I should say kilometer stones, I don't know. You know, what's something you can celebrate? And I think depending on your child, depends on the level of it. So I might be like, okay, we made it 1 week on Friday. You know, you get to choose dinner, or we're going to have ice cream here, or we're going to do this because, you know, you've made your first week. It's going to be great. Or if they're going to somewhere where they don't have any, where they're not going with their friends, it's like, okay, you make a friend and we're going to have them around for a play date. And, you know, that's a milestone. We're going to celebrate that. So it gives them something to, like, look forward to. I think it works really well for kids that like to achieve. Like the ones, you know, where you can put a sticker chart up and be like, you know, if you clean your room 10 times, I'll put a sticker on each one. And when you get to the 10th time, I'm going to take you to McDonald's. Those kids that are just like, yeah, I'm nailing it out every day, boom, done. Those are the ones that this will work really well for, because it's the whole, this is where I need to get to and I get a reward, or we get to celebrate it. So I think it's really cool. And with that, there's also this suggestion, you know, as they finish the primary school, like, have a big celebration there, because that's a big milestone. And if you celebrate that, as you know, it's making sure, hey, we're really excited for you at this point. And it's turning it from this thing of, oh, we're a little bit worried about the future, to, hey, we're really celebrating where you've got to. So I think that can be seen in two things there. I think it's really cool. Another thing to look at doing during the transition is to stay organized. I think for the first while in first month, first term, while they're still getting established, I think as a parent, it's really helpful that you stay on top of what's going on for them at school as well as them, kind of teaching them how to stay on top of it. Because it is a lot to do with, again, creating that, what the expectation is for them, that what's going to be their routine, so that it's, I mean, every school will have different communication methods. So the school we use, they use an app, and to be honest, even with what teacher it is, it's really hit and miss as to how good the information is that comes out, newsletter comes out. It kind of works, but then by the time you've got 5 years in, you kind of know the quirks. You know which teachers are going to communicate well, which ones are not. You know what kind of message they send out. But then equal, like, the school will have its own pattern of, we do this here, this event here, we do these reports done here. So, but that's all new. New schools, new communication methods, new ways to learn, new rhythm, new patterns. So it's like, okay, well, the first term we really need to be on top of what's going on in terms of communication. How is this going to happen? What class is going to be in? And by you as a parent being organized, which then kind of leads into the whole creating the routine, they kind of go hand in hand for me, is going to just create that platform of stability. Now, as a parent, you could be freaking out, like, oh, how do I even get on top of all this? But I think it's important to kind of buffer that a bit so that you as a parent can try to stay or have this platform of we're steady. I'm kind of like working this through my head because I'm like, yeah, but if you, as a parent, you're freaking out, like, I would also talk to my kids about that, like, hey, I'm freaking out a little bit, but hey, we're going to get through this together. That's the approach I take. So that's what I'm thinking through. What the kid is looking for, what your child's looking for, is that rock and that stability, knowing that, hey, we're going to be okay. I have my routine, I'm going to be down packed. I don't have any friends, but that's just a matter of time. We're going to have a celebration when I get a friend. That sort of stuff going on. So I think these things, I think, are really cool. I like them. I hadn't really thought about this too much, to be honest, like, before reading all this, because it is, like I say, it's stuff I haven't really taken the time to stop and think about how this transition affects my daughter. So I'm learning a whole lot here as well. So that's in the kind of interim as the transitions happen. Now, a few things for after it has happened. And I think these are the first point I really love. It's that check-in regularly. Now, as a parent, like, I like to check in with my kids quite regularly. Generally ask them most days how they're going, what they do today. And I think it's really important with that, that you don't stop that check-in process with them and even probably heighten it to this point, because it's going to be a bit of a journey. So, like, it's very easy if you think about starting a new job or going to a new house or moving out of your parents' house into, like, if you start thinking about that, it's like, how were you for that first period? Like, quite often there's that mix of emotions, and some people can be really excited. So everything's great. Everything's fantastic. This is going to be amazing. And it's like that for a little bit. That's quite often what people call honeymoon period, where everything is great. And then after a while, that's when you start to settle down and be like, okay, well, hey, things aren't actually so great. Like, you know, you bought a house, everything's great. But after a month, oh, actually, the shower really bothers me because it doesn't heat up properly, or it's really hard to get the right temperature, or the window doesn't really close properly, so there's a bit of cold dry. So things like that start to creep up after a little bit, and then left, if you don't talk about it, let it build up. You're like, oh, I hate this house because it's just rubbish. So I guess that's a kind of example where you're checking after the first couple of days naturally, and it's probably going to be is emotions of, yeah, I really love it, or yeah, I really hate it. It could be just meh, like, yeah, it's okay. But I think it's going to be a little bit of time before they really start to show, or some of those emotions settle and then you can kind of get a good grip onto how they're actually going. So I think it's really important to kind of just have those regular check-ins to ensure that you are understanding how the transition is actually going. Are they coping? Are they not coping? Encourage involvement. So another part with this is especially if they, I think it's very, if I can talk properly. Encourage involvement. So does your, and this will link into how well you know your kid as well, like how well do you think they know, they do things like, is there clubs they can be a part of? Is there sports things they can be a part of? Is there other activities, lunchtime, after school, other bits and pieces that actually let's have a look at and can they be a part of, because that's going to help them build a rapport at the school. It's going to help them establish new relationships, new friendships. Also that whole sense of belonging, like how are we going, how do I fit in? Where is my space in this world? So I think that's really cool. So not every kid will want to do that. So I'm just thinking through my ones. Like our daughter, she's really into swimming, but we kind of do that outside of school. So and most of the rest of the time she's like, I just want to read. I just want to be at home, being creative. So, I mean, it's, I think it's really important to encourage involvement because it's going to bridge so many different opportunities and bridge quite a lot. But I think you've got to really work that through with your child and to what you're going to commit to, because also you don't want to be like going down too far down the path of we're doing all these things to help them transition and actually I'm not putting in place anything for myself or these other, my other ones or my husband or my wife, and things have just kind of been a mess for me, but as long as we're doing all this for them, they're going to be fine. Like you can't, you've got to get the balance right overall as a family, but I think, you know, that involvement is quite cool. And it's a really good reminder, being patient, because adjusting to a new school is going to take time. It's not something that happens instantaneously. More often than not, it is not something that happens instantaneously. It will take time. And so you just got to be patient and, you know, just trust that as long as you're checking in and bringing the support they need, that they will get there. So being patient is always a great reminder, because I know it's something that I have to keep reminding myself on with my kids. I'm like, hey, actually, I just need to take a step back. What's going on? Do I need to be as critical? The thing I do is quite a lot in the morning. Like, I want to get to work at a certain time. Current role, you know, it's pretty flexible. If I get there half an hour late or 10, normally it's only like 10 or 15 minutes later than I would, it's actually okay. It's not going to bother me. It's not going to bother work. I'll just make sure I make it up that day and we're good. But I still get that, feel that oh, I need to, we need to get. Cool. So, looking through the other big side of this, that's a lot of good, really practical things to help the transition, to do, put in routine. Other big thing, and this ties right back to kind of the first challenge and hurdle I talked about, and that's the whole emotional side, because as humans, we do have a lot of emotions going on, and it's really, really important that in the realms that we deal with, where people get into distress with their mental health is often when emotions or certain aspects around that get left unchecked and not talked about. That's often what leads you down the path of actually being distressed in a way where you need help or you need to be able to work through it. So validating their feelings is a really good one. You know, when a child comes back on the first day and says, I hate it, such a crap school, just be like, hey, look, I understand, I hear you here, how is it crap and how to work that? So not, I think it's really important where your kid can hear you say, hey, I hear you, I get it, it's okay to feel that way, rather than be like, oh, come on, don't be silly, it's fine. Like, I know there's times where your kids just need to be, where you just need, the kids need to pull themselves together, and when you say like, there's a time and a place, but I think it's really important, especially this massive transition. And more often than not, it's actually validating what they're feeling, because if you don't allow them to feel or express how they're feeling, next time it comes around, they'll just won't express and they'll bottle up. And then as they keep going around the path and bottling emotions up, that's when you get into worse situations years down the track. So it's about validating their feelings, is about listening to their concerns and not minimalizing them or marginalizing them. It's just saying, hey, I hear you, I can relate. Now, while you're feeling like that, how can we start to move you forward into feeling something different? Because that is really what the second part of the emotional support is that model positivity. So as a parent, you'll set the tone for how it's going to go. So I'm trying to think through, like, when you're dropping them off, you could be like, oh, it's going to be a great day, you're going to be fantastic, and you might be thinking in the back, yeah, this is going to be rubbish. But I think that modelling the positivity going into the situation, I think as well as when you are kind of validating the feeling, you're hearing them, but you're also modelling, hey, that this can be good, this will be good, you're going to learn lots, it's going to be cool. I think that the way you the narrative you write for transitioning through different situations really does dictate how the outcome is going to be. So you could be, let's take example, changing my job. So I could go be like, I'm changing because my current job is rubbish and I don't want to be there, and this is such a better opportunity because my current job is rubbish. So I could go in that way, and I'm not modeling positivity to anyone, and everyone's gonna be like, well, we'll just get out of here, we don't want you here, type thing. Or you're going to be negative on yourself, people around you are going to be negative. Or it's like, hey, I've really enjoyed my time here, but it's given me lots of opportunities. Now I'm going into this other place, which I couldn't get to there unless it was for this job here. And so it's like the same thing that's going on, but you're choosing what aspect to look at and focus on. Because everyone knows that underneath it all, there is stuff that we have to put up with at work that we don't enjoy, but the stuff that goes really well at work. So it's a whole balancing there where you can, depending on what you choose to focus on, depends on your outcome and how it's going to go. And I think this is very, very much the same with your children changing schools. It's like, hey, you're moving from a really cool school. This is unknown. Hey, it's going to be hard. Like, I'm sure it'll be fine, but no, this is really cool. Some cool stuff here. Now you're going for it. So that's not necessarily the best way, because you're kind of speaking down the school, whereas you could go down the route of, hey, you've had some really cool adventures at the school, and now it's time to have some new ones over here, and it's going to be great. So model that positivity. I think, you know, as a parent, you set that. I think it's, in my mind, it's my responsibility to do that for my kids and not allow anything that I might be holding on to kind of affect the way I want my child to transition through. I think the last really good point is just watch out for those signs of struggle. If it's taken a while, and you can go through so many different metrics with this. Again, it comes, I guess you've got to establish that for your child. So what is it that their signs of struggle? Where does your child go to when they're distressed? Are they sitting in that space more often? So one of our children, they will go to their room, read a book, have a blanket on them, because that's their kind of cozy space, which they do quite often anyway. But if that's becoming like every day, as soon as they get home from school, that's happening. And even though they're like, oh yeah, school's great, but they're doing that, hey, there's probably something going on that we need to explore. So there's going, it's one of these hard ones, because there's naturally going to be change. With such a big transition, there's naturally going to be change, but there is that signs where they're struggling, where you really want to be on point, especially for the first few months as they're transitioning through. Are they normally really highly academic and they're not doing well with the grades? Like, what's going on there? Is that because they're struggling with school? Is it because it's hard? Like, just I guess not taking everything at face value, but trust in your instinct as a parent that if things aren't feeling like they're great, just start to dive into those. I think, just closing off, what I found great with schools in this region is that all the teachers we've had of our kids have been really approachable. And that's something I really appreciate, where they will take the time to talk about. They'll make some time, talk about the kids, where they're at, what's going on. And we will share, I guess, our thoughts on where the kids are at as well, and give them, give teachers good understanding, because we want our kids' teachers to know how to teach them that's effective. So we take go to lengths to do that. And I think if things are not going well at the school, I think it's really important you jump on it. Again, doing it in a positive light where it's like, oh, my kid is struggling with this. You mustn't be teaching them about it. It's like, hey, actually, these are some stuff that's going on here. Can we have a chat? Why do you think this is? I always find when you're dealing with these sorts of situations, it's best to ask the other person their opinion prior, because that way you also know where they sit, and it's going to give you a good indication of where you go in the conversation. So the reason I say this is, say your kid is struggling with math, and you want to go into a teacher and you say, hey, what's your impression on why they're struggling with math? And they might go straight and be like, oh, well, it's because they're talking in class the whole time. It's not listening to me. Or it's just like, well, they just don't get it. Like, you kind of then know how you can have that conversation with a teacher, because you can argue it, but really at the end of the day, getting into an argument with a teacher of your child is not really the best way. It's never going to end well, because your child just ended up in the mix. But you can kind of gauge, saying, hey, all right, so my child talks a lot. That gives me something to work on. Is there stuff in math they need to be working on? Well, actually, no, there's nothing in math. Their math is great. They're not achieving because they have this issue here. And so it gives you a better understanding of kind of the angle you can approach. So that's what I do with a lot of things anyway. I let the other person talk, because that way they get a bit of a gauge. So what I'm trying to say with that is, I have really valued going and talking to the teacher directly in a non-confrontational way, because they're with your kids throughout the day. I think it's really valuable having that input. So just to recap, because I've probably kind of gone off topic the last bit, with transitioning, going through this whole school transition that happens, it's kind of like making sure you're having those conversations with your child, laying out what the challenges are, making sure you're talking about the change, visiting your school if possible, putting in practice a whole lot of bits and pieces where they're going to feel like they are secure, they know the plan, they know the pattern, they know what they're going to have to work through, and it's their place of security. And then basically making sure that you're wrapping around and listening to what's going on for them, validating that, and coming up with strategies of how we can achieve this. And I think it's really important, because fundamentally, this is a new experience for your child, and you want to make sure that they are safe, they're confident, that they're not holding on or bottling down things that aren't going to be healthy for them in the long run. I enjoyed that discussion with myself. Great. No one argued with me. Fantastic. No, I think there's some really good points there. Some stuff for me to think about, especially as we're going into this arena. I hope you did. That is our show for today. I hope you have a fantastic week, especially in the build up to Christmas. And we will catch you next week. Take care.